Okay, Northampton Kollel, share given by Gershon Heppner on Sunday, 20th of November 2011, Kaf Gimel Cheshvan Tovshin Ayin Beis. I think we should give the share in the Zechus Shabir, Refu Shalema for Ashley Klinger, Chaim Avram Tzvi Ben Hadassah, should have a Refu Shalema. And we've got extra people here today, a big olim here, well represented family Galinsky as well. And Hashem, okay, so that's Tehillim chapter Yudches, and we're going to tackle today Pasuk Tes Zayin, Pasuk 16, Tes Zayin. The story so far is David HaMelech giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rescuing him from all his various enemies, and time again he's been saved from various enemies. So our Pasuk reads, Vayero'u Afikei Mayim, and the streams of water appeared, Vayigolu Mostos Tevel, and the foundations of the earth were revealed, Miga'arosecha Hashem, from your rebuke, Hashem, Minishmas Ruach HaPecha, from the breath of the wind of your nostrils. They're very strange expressions. What does it all mean? So what do we have? The streams of water are revealed, the foundations of the earth are revealed from your rebuke and from the breath of your nostrils, from the air of your nostrils. So it could be, but we've had those before. We had Vatigash Vatirasha Oretz, which that dealt with the earthquakes, and that was Pasuk Ches. Vatigash Vatirasha Oretz of Moste Harim Yirgozu. That's all about earthquakes. So we're going through a number of different natural phenomena that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has performed over the centuries in order to save Klal Yisrael from various problems. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, good. We're just on Pasuk Tes Zayin.
It means from the breath of the nostrils, but it could mean to the breath of the nostrils, because we've got various places where Hashem breathes into the nostrils.
Well, our pasuk has got migar. Our pasuk got minishmas ruach, from the breath of. Although we're going to see in the parallel pasuk, I can't remember actually. In Shmuel Beis, the parallel pasuk, we'll see it might not have exactly the same expression. I can't quite remember. But this seems to be from Hashem's breath. Hashem has revealed streams of water and revealed the foundations of the world. What on earth are we talking about? So Rashi says it's a clear reference to Kriyas Yamsuf. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael from Egypt, from the Egyptians, it's exactly what he did. The waters parted of the Yamsuf, so Klal Yisrael could go through, and that revealed these Afikei Mayim, the streams of water were somehow uncovered. And certainly Mostos Tevel, the foundations of the world, were revealed, because with the water parting, leaving dry land, completely dry land underneath, so that meant that the foundations of the world were revealed. The earth underneath the seabed, that's the word, the seabed was uncovered. And all of that was Migar Roschof Hashem, from your rebuke, Mimishma Asura Chabecha, from the breath of your nostrils, that you caused the Kriyas Yamsuf. That's how Rashi learns this pasuk. The Targum has a slight difference on this. Let's have a look at the Targum here. Yeah. The Targum on this pasuk translates. Firstly, it translates the word apecho at the end as not being the lashon of af, which is a nose or nostrils, but the other expression of af, which is anger, because af can also mean anger. And he translates the word apecho as rugzach, rugez, rugzach, your anger. And in fact, he translates that last phrase, minishmas ruach apecho, quite differently. Minishmas ruach apecho, literally, we said it means, one explanation is from the breath of the wind of your nostrils. He translates it differently. He says, "Mimeimar tekuf rugzach," from the word of your strong anger. So what does that mean? I'm not quite sure exactly what it means, but I think it might mean that it's as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the word for the waters to split, and hence the waters split. "Mimeimar tekuf rugzach," from the word of your very strong anger. That's how the Targum learns it. Quite a different expression that they to Rashi.
It makes sense that The first meaning that we have, nishmas, from the breath of the wind of your nostrils, is a very physical description, and the nishmas ruach hapecha is a more
non-physical,
more conceptual, more ideas-based.
Yeah. From anger.
Yeah, from anger, from word, taking nishmas as being a word as opposed to actual physical breath. But what does the breath produce when it comes out of some anthropomorphic mouth? It produces a word.
Yep. The one small piece of Rashi which I forgot to say a moment ago, so I'll just add in that piece of Rashi, namely that Rashi brings the famous Medrash that when the waters of the Yamsa split, it wasn't just the Yamsa that split, but all the seas in the world split at that point. So it was like it was an international mess, and everybody would have been aware of it, that the seas split. And in fact, we're going to see another medrash which extends that even further. We'll come on to that. The Matzudas Tzion defines this word afike mayim. He defines it as being a particular type of water. He says it's very strong water. It's water which flows with a very strong current. And he quotes the pasuk that we all know from Tehillim, and it's chapter Kuf Kaf Vav, pasuk Dalet from Shaar Malos, where the pasuk says there, Shuvah Hashem Eshvisenu, Hashem, please bring back our captives, in other words, bring an end to the Golus. Ka'afikim Banegev. That word ka'afikim is the same word, of course, as we've got here, afike. Ka'afikim Banegev, like the very strong streams, or strong currents, on very dry land. What is it?
It's a town called Afikim in the Negev today.
Afikim. Afikim in the Negev. Oh, now we know. Thank you. Oh, a great name. So, Afikim in the Negev. So, there's a very strong current that can transform dry land. Negev, of course, dry land, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, which is completely dry. Is the word arid? Is that the right word?
Arid?
Yeah, completely dry. And the Afikim can transform that into fertile land. Likewise, Shiva Hashem Eshvasinu, likewise Hashem, please transform us by bringing an end to the goddess. I'm bringing us out of captivity. But at any rate, the Matzudas Tzion quotes that pasuk, Afike Manegev, to explain this word here, Afike Maim, it's strong currents, it's water which is flowing with some degree of force. The Matzudas David explains that he sticks strongly with this word Apecho, being nostrils. Not like the Targum, when we learned it was anger, expression of af meaning anger. The Matzudas David defines it as we originally defined it, namely af being an expression of the nose or the nostrils. And the Matzudas David says that we're not necessarily speaking about Kriyas Yamsuf, we're speaking about any kind of any time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has wrought his vengeance on enemies of Klal Yisrael. Then what would he do? He shakes up the world, and then he'll have flooding, and the waters will part, or waters will do amazing things, and the earth's foundations will be revealed in order to bring about some punishment to the enemies of Klal Yisrael. The Radak has got a slightly different take on the pasuk. He also says he doesn't make any kind of reference to Kriyas Yamsuf, not necessarily Kriyas Yamsuf. It's any time that Kadosh Baruch Hu has sent enemies to attack, specifically David, and he says, and the water is therefore just a moshel. The water is a moshel to our enemies, or the water is a moshel to our problems. And he says the Radak as follows: there, if a person's in trouble in water, there are two possible solutions. Solution number one is to remove the water, and solution number two is to remove the person from the water. So solution number one is to remove the water. That's denoted in our pasuk that vayeroa fikemayim, the water parts, the water vanishes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rescued David whenever he's had problems. How? By getting rid of the problem, by getting rid of it, which is the moshel in our pasuk, is getting rid of the water. Vayeroa fikemayim. That's solution number one to the problem of a person who's in trouble in water, and solution number two is to remove the person from the water, or to remove the person from the problem, and that's denoted in the next pasuk, which we're not going to learn today. Yishlach mimorim yikocheni. He has stretched out from on high, and he's taken me, Yamsheni, he has removed me, Mimayim Rabim, from plenty of water. So the Razak says those are the two solutions. The whole pasuk is talking about a moshul of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and maybe more specifically the enemies of David are compared to water, and problems of a person in trouble drowning in water. Two solutions: either remove the water, that's our pasuk, or remove the person from the water, and that's the next pasuk, which we will learn in our next year. Oh, the Ibn Ezra.
Just one thing.
Yeah.
How do you get that he took the water away?
Oh, that
it says in the channels of water appeared.
Channels of water.
So where?
Yeah, channels of water appeared. Yes. Yeah. Okay. In that case, take it from the second phrase. Yeah, fair point. Take it from the second point, yeah. Second expression, which is I've lost the place. Where's it gone? Vayigolu Mosdos Tevel. The foundations of the world were revealed, were laid bare. Yeah. How? By removing the water, so you can see the foundations of the world. Yeah. Okay, the Ibn Ezra. Has Ibn Ezra learned this? Oh yes, the Ibn Ezra's got a whole different shot. He says that this idea of the streams of water being visible and then the foundations of the world being revealed, he says, is a mashal again for the enemies of David, who normally were in hiding. And David had no idea where they were. The enemies of David, who were in hiding, they were lying in wait for him, probably ambushing him sometimes, and that kind of thing. So they were in hiding. So what does Hashem do? Hashem revealed their hiding places to David. These enemies, who would normally be hidden, and they are, the moshel is afike mayim, streams of water, they are now vayero. Hashem has made them appear to David. And likewise, a parallel expression, vayigolu mistis tevel, the foundations of the world were revealed to him, i.e. David got to know their whereabouts. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns this pasuk.
It could also be perhaps a reference to the creation of the world. When Hashem created the world, he divided the upper waters from the lower waters, and he created order out of the chaos of Tahom. And this perhaps could be referred to in that first verse, the channels of the waters that laid open the foundations of the world.
At the time of creation,
yes,
splitting
yes.
Water.
And then the rescue of David from all this is he uses the phrase, he stretched out his hand, which could be a reference again to creation.
That's
just a suggestion.
I didn't see that shot anywhere, but it's a lovely shot. Yeah?
Another idea, which I think came to mind from what you just said, is when Noach, when the flood with Noach happened, it says and there's also something about the waters from the Tahoe
underwater,
also coming out. I can't remember the phrase now. There's definitely
connected.
All the various streams, sources of water opened up
from above and from below.
It's really interesting. There's far more water within the mantle of the earth than there is above it. Rocks contain water. Everything contains water of some sort. It's in steam or whatever. But there's huge quantities of water locked in within the earth. And the seas are just like a thin epidermis on the surface. So in the days of Noah, the streams are hot. And this is the water coming from within the mantle of the earth upwards, and flooding. That's how they were able to, as Hashem's command, they receded again, they went back to where they came from.
So it seems like invisible, the one beneath now,
within
the rocks.
The earth is huge in its volume.
Yeah.
The volume of water covering the earth is minute. Mm. Even the rock contains a tiny percentage of water, or steam, whatever it is. It's huge, cumulative here, and what's locked in there.
I read the other day that Hashem has put away huge quantities of water, I suppose for the children of Israel or for the world. Hashem has put specially contained.
Good. Oh, that's good. or the Malvim. Now the Malvim on this whole section here, we've learnt this style of the Malvim earlier. The Malvim learns that we're talking about many, many problems that faced David HaMelech, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him a rescue package in the form of some kind of physical phenomena like earthquakes and volcanoes and hail. We've had the lot, yeah, and fire, I think, at one time, yeah, fire. Mm-hmm. And that each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him a rescue package which got rid of the enemies, but in its wake created a new problem from which David had to be rescued yet again. And we've had this, that's how the Malbims learnt the last five or six Pesukim, that each time Hashem saved David, which saved him from the immediate danger, but created a new problem from which he needed to be rescued again.
Well, were there any actual instances in David's life where he was rescued by some natural occurrence?
The answer has to be definitely yes. But I can't remember. the one that immediately springs to mind is when he was hiding from Shaul and a spider. It's a medrash. It's not the first in the pasuk. And a spider spun its web, and it's a natural thing. And of course, he wasn't. Shaul assumed he wasn't hiding in that cave. Hi, Johnny. Yeah. Yes, it's Shaila. Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah, so the Malbim learns the same thing here. It's the same story in our pasuk. He simply confirms it in our pasuk that what we've got here is some kind of floods or some kind of some kind of natural phenomena which has saved David, and I don't know which occasion it was, but it saved David from some enemy, which in turn gave David the next problem, that he too got caught up in the flooding. Something like that, and he needs the next rescue package, which is in the next pasuk. Yishlach mimo mikachini yamshini mimaim rabim, that Hashem would rescue him from the water. At any rate, Hashem has deflected one enemy with one natural phenomenon and caused a problem, and then there's another natural phenomenon, and so this chapter unfolds. That's how the Malbim learns this whole section in this parak. The Alchemy Amnonius goes back to learning that our Pesukim is speaking about Kriyas Yamsuf, like Rashi learns, Kriyas Yamsuf specifically, and he says, the words are Migarosecha Hashem, from your rebuke Hashem. What caused Kriyas Yamsuf was your rebuke, and nothing else. Why? Because they're easily confused. There are people who will say, well, Moshe puts his stick out over the water, lift up your stick, I think is the pasuk, so one might be mistaken mistakenly believe that it was the stick that caused the Kriyas Yamsuf. Says the Yalkim Amnos, no, it's Megarosach Hashem, the sea split, Megarosach Hashem, because of your rebuke, Hashem. Oh, the Meiri learns very much like the Radak, namely that this pasuk is talking all about the various tzoros of Klal Yisrael, and he says, let me just get this right. Yeah, and he gives a very similar idea, namely that the enemies of Klal Yisrael are compared to water. It's like a person who's drowning in the water, and he's stuck in the water until HaKadosh Baruch Hu can somehow save him from the water. Very similar idea. Yeah, the Tosfos Rid, from Rabbi Shai from Turin, do you know the Tosfos Rid on Tehillim? Tosfos Rid on Tehillim says that we've quoted him before, Tosfos Rid, he's occasionally, yeah, that, and he says that our pasuk is an echo of the previous pasuk you mentioned, David, from pasuk Ches, Vatigash Vatirasha Oretz, the earth is shaken up with earthquakes. And he says that goes hand in hand. We've got here by Yigalu Mostos Tevel that the foundations of the world are revealed. Why? Because of the earthquakes. So he connects the two, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fully prepared to shake up the world if necessary in order to get rid of the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Vatigash Vatirasha Oretz, had earthquakes earlier, and here we've got the sea splitting and the earth. Foundations being laid there, which is a very similar idea to earthquakes. He connects those two.
Yes, a little historical afterthought. I don't know if you saw it written up in the papers. They saw an article recently about the volcano in Pompeii. You know, it happened in year 73. It was about 3 years after the Churban on the place of Mikdash. Now, a lot of Yidden in Italy. There were Yidden already in Italy, and then there were more after the Churban, because they all left
they were taken
slaves, or they left. And so they found an inscription in Pompeii, in Lashon HaKodesh, I think, saying, put on somewhere in Italy, maybe not in Pompeii, but that it was written somewhere on the wall in Hebrew, in Italy, that this was the Kama Hashem. It was Hashem's punishment. It was Hashem's punishment on the Romans for destroying the base of Mikdash 3 years earlier.
Was that an earthquake?
Because the thing about Pompeii, why was it such a big deal that the Yidden would see this thing in the Kama? Because all the rich, wealthy, powerful Romans had their holiday homes in Pompeii.
Oh.
It was like Cannes or, you know, Nantucket or whatever, you know. So all top brass were got rid of in Pompeii.
Wow. Oh, good. And it stayed because they frozen in time for all those years as a reminder.
Can I add something? My translation of Nishmas Ruach Apecha is through the blast of the breath of your nostrils, and this suggested to me the blast of Hashem sending down fire from heaven in the same way as the incident with Eliyahu on Mount Carmel, where Hashem sent down fire onto his sacrifice, which was sodden with water, as all the other goyim, their sacrifices were not accepted, and they were also sodden with water, and they remained sodden with water. And this was the conquest, if you like, of Hashem over the priests of Baal, of his fire over the water. And I see it especially in the word Nishma, Neshama, and Ruach, which is the combination of the two souls, which signifies something supernatural.
I was wondering about this Nishmas and Ruach, meaning Neshama and Ruach, but I didn't see anything on it. I was wondering about it. Oh, so you're saying it could well be a reference to the fire burning Eliyahu's korban?
Yes, please.
Oh, I see. There's a Kohen speaking about korban. It's in your blood. Yeah. Oh. Oh, let's take a look at the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis. So I've put the bookmarks in Shmuel Beis. Here, Johnny, use this one. Here we are. So we want Shmuel Beis, and it's chapter Kaf Beis, and it's Pasuk Tes Zayin. Here. So if you just use it to compare. Oh. So if you've got both texts there, you can compare the two of them. So this chapter Kaf Beis is, in Shmuel Beis, is a parallel to our chapter. So our Pasuk's got Vayero'u Afike Mayim, while in Shmuel Beis it's got Vayero'u Afike Yom. So ours has got mayim, water, while there it's got yom, which is sea. Slight difference. Our pasuk has got vayigolu mostos tevel, and the foundations of the earth were revealed. So we've got vayigolu with a vav hahipuch there to make it in a past tense, while in Shmuel Beis it's got yigolu mostos tevel, which is just a future tense. It will be. And there's another slight difference there, that our word mostos is spelled with two vavs, while in Shmuel Beis it's spelled with only the second vav, but only one vav, the one after the dalet. So that's another slight difference there. Our pasuk has got Migarosucha Hashem, while there in Shmuel Beis it's got Begaras Hashem, with the rebuke of Hashem, while ours has got Migarosucha, from your rebuke Hashem. And one final difference is we've got Minishmas Ruach HaPecha, from the wind or from the blast of the breath of your nostrils or your anger, while in Shmuel Beis it's got Minishmas Ruach Apo, from the blast of the wind of his nostril, or maybe we could put it in the plural, nostrils. So slight differences there. Now I didn't get to the bottom of all those differences, but some of them I did find. Rashi there in Shmuel Beis says the same thing as he says here, namely that the waters of the whole world, all the seas in the world, split at Tam Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's why the pasuk there has got Vayera'u Afike Yom, because Yom means sea. And it's all the seas, not just the sea of the Yamsuf, but all the seas. in the art scroll on Tehillim quotes a sefer called Ohel Moed, which in turn quotes a piece of Medrash Shochetov. So I'll read that. I'll start off by reading the Medrash Shochetov in our pasuk, which reads as follows. At Motzi, you find B'Shah Hashem Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. The time when Hashem said to Moshe, V'Atah HaRemes Matacha, lift up your stick. What happened? Nivku kol mayinos tohum sheba olam. All the wells of the deep in the sea, all the wells of the deep, in other words, all bodies of water in the world, all split. And that would refer to all the seas of the world. And now comes the punchline. And then it says, afilu mayim shebechadim, even water that was held in jugs, v'shebegittos, or in... Oh, I can't remember the translation of gittos, something like some kind of large kili, like a vat, something like that. V'shebet sluchios, and all water that's held in jugs, nechleku ba'os hashar. All of those waters split as well. So imagine someone at the other end of the world, at the time of Kriyat Shema, who's about to take a sip of water, so the water in his glass split in half. Unbelievable, mate.
It's a bit like the ten plagues, where all the waters turned into blood, wherever they were. I'm talking about Egypt, yes.
Yeah.
But it's a similar, but even waters and jugs.
Yeah.
Or vats,
similar
or rivers.
All turned into blood.
I once read in one of the Midrashim that even body fluids like tears or saliva in the Egyptians also turned into blood. It's staggering, yeah. So you would have heard that at our Seder.
Only the Egyptians, that would have been.
Only among the Egyptians. But here we're talking about Kriyas Yamsuf was felt worldwide, because any body of water anywhere, not even in its natural states in the seas or in wells, but even in a keli, in a jug or whatever, in a cup, would all split. So the art scroll on Tehillim quotes the sefer, and I don't know what the sefer is called, a sefer called Ohel Moed, which says that is echoed by these two pasukim. The pasuk in Shmuel Beis says Vayera'u Afike Yom, the streams of the sea became visible. But that's only, and that's a reference to Kriyas Yamsuf, all the seas. But the bigger chiddush is found in Tehillim. Vayera'u Afike Mayim. So all water, anywhere, even water in a keli, even that's also split. So he says it's echoed, that Medrash Shochetov is echoed between the two Pesukim, the one in Shmuel Beis and the one in Tehillim. Just incidentally on that, there's a piece of Ramban in Bereishis that was shown to me just recently by Rabbi Eli Siegel, with whom I work in Pilate's house. He's the son of Chazan Pesach Siegel. And he showed me the Ramban. The Ramban is on Bereishis, chapter Aleph Pasuk Yud, where it says, can I just pause for a second? Sorry. In Bereishis, chapter Aleph Pasuk Yud, where the Pasuk says, Vayikra lekim layabosha eretz, ulumikveh hamayim, and to collections of water, koro yamim. So the Ramban on that Pasuk says, what is this word, yamim? We seem to have two words for water. We've got yamim, and we've got mayim, which goes almost very similar words, but what does it mean? So the Ramban on that pasuk says, "For korah lemikveh hamayim, collections of water, or places where water is collected, is called yamim, keilu hu yam mayim." The word yamim is a contraction of two other words, yam mayim. Okay, and why? Lefi, because Shekarka hamikveh nikra yam. The seabed is called yam. So the Ramban makes a clear distinction between the word mayim and the word yam or yam. The word mayim means water. The word yam or yom, to give it its real term, yom is the seabed. And therefore yamim is a contraction of yam mayim, the seabed of water. Turns out that the word yom means the seabed, and that goes brilliantly with our pasuk in Tehillim, where we've got Vayera'u Afike. I'm sorry, not with the Tehillim. The one in Shmuel Beis goes well with the pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Vayera'u Afike Yom, that the streams of the seabed. It was the seabed that was revealed at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf by the sea splitting. So therefore, the seabed became visible. That's so learning with that Ramban, it goes extremely well. Elie Siegel wanted to say to me then the word yamim, there's a dogish in the mem. And he wanted to suggest that the reason why it's a dogish in the mem is learning like that Ramban, that the word yamim is a contraction of yam mayim. There is one mem that's disappeared. To replace the missing mem of yam mayim, to replace the missing mem, we put a dogish in the remaining mem. That's what he said to me, which is a beautiful pshat. And I said to him, it's fine, but it's also good. The dogish in that mem is also because a patach under the yud often pulls the dogish into the next letter. A patach is a vowel that often pulls the dogish into the next letter. So, in the word yom, which is sea or sea bed, learning out in Ramban, yom has got a komos, no dogish in the mem, in the final mem. But you do find in yamim in the plural form there is a dogish in the remaining mem. So, but there's also a reason for that, and that is a final letter generally won't take a dogish. But anyway, he was saying that maybe the dogish in the mem of yamim is because it's yam mayim, like the Ramban, missing mem. So it's a dogish in the remaining one. Oh, so let's tackle some of these differences between our two pesukim. Another interesting difference in these two pesukim is in the Targum. So we've only learned through our Targum. The Targum actually uses different words. The Targum is Shmuel base for Vayerohu, the seabed was revealed, uses the word for Ischaziu, which means it was visible, while our Targum uses a slightly different expression, the Ischamiu. Slight difference between them. Another thing is that, the Targum in Shmuel Beis, speaking about most of those Tevel, the depths of the... No, sorry, I got the wrong Targum. The Targum in Tehillim, on Vayigolu, most of those Tevel, translates it as the Isgaliu. Oh, and I didn't bring the Targum here. I think the word is Shisasayah. He translates most of the table as Shisasayah. And that word, Shisasayah, which means the depth, of course goes very well with the Gemara in Sukkah, it's Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, which speaks about when they poured the water on the Mizbeach during Sukkahs, Nisuch HaMayim, on Sukkahs. So the Gemara there learns, Amr Rabbi Yochanan Shisin. The water travelled down pipes which are called Shisin. And those Shisin, according to one opinion in the Gemara, went right to the core of the planet Earth. Went right down into the core of the Earth. And they're called Shisin. And in fact, the Gemara learns it as well from Bereshis. Here we are. Tomet Veri Rabbi Shmuel is Sukkah Mem Tesam Adalef. Tomet Veri Rabbi Shmuel, Bereshis. Al tikra bereshis ela bara shis. Hashem created those shisin, those funnels that went down into the depths of the earth. They were created at the beginning of the creation. Bereshis bara shis. He created the foundations of the earth. Another pshat on bara shis is surely bara shis. Shis is the number six in Aramaic, and bara shis, he created the world in 6 days. So there's another possibility on that word Bereshis, using the word shis. Anyway, so
these pipes were like divinely made.
Absolutely. It's a machlokes in the Gemara where that water went. Yeah. According to one opinion, the water flowed out into. I can't remember now. I don't think it was Nachal Kidron. I'm not sure. It might have been the Nachal Kidron. I'm not sure. I can't remember now. But the opinion we just learned in that Gemara is that they went down into the depths of the earth,
yes.
And they were called Shisin. Yeah. Okay. The Ralbag in Shmuel, Shmuel based on that pasuk in Shmuel based, learns what's this Vayero Afike Yom Yigolim Mostos Tevel, that the depths of the earth are revealed, and then the foundations of the earth are revealed. It's a moshel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine plans. Hashem's divine plans became known. He says, normally Hashem's plans are not known to us, and we wouldn't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got planned for us. And he gives an example. He says one example was when Shaul died in a battle against the Plishtim, and it happened on Har HaGilboa, or is it Har Gilboa? It's in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Lamed Aleph, right at the end of Shmuel Aleph, and Yonason, Shaul's son, died in the same battle. Says the Ralbag, why was it that Yonason had to die in the same battle? Okay, Shaul, it was time for Shaul to die, but why Yonason as well? And the Ralbag says as follows, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted David to become the king, to be recognized as the king. If Yonason would have still been alive, if Yonason would have survived that battle, then David would never have wanted to be king, because he had such love and respect for his brother-in-law Yonason that he wouldn't have wanted to be the king. He would have said, no, it's not for me, let Yonason be the king, not for me. You know, he would have stepped to one side in deference to Yonason.
He had already been crowned.
He had already been crowned, that's right. Okay, yeah. Good kasha. I don't know the answer to that. But the Ralbag says, if Yonason would have survived, David would have been very reluctant to be the king. He would have preferred that his brother-in-law Yonason, son of Shaul HaMelech, should be the king instead. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans that David should be the king only became apparent when Yonason died in the same battle. Yonason died so that David could take over. Says the Ralbag, that's the pshat in this pasuk, that these afike yom and most of those tevel are covered over, and it's a moshel for Hashem's plans. We don't know what Hashem's plans are. They all get uncovered, and in the fullness of time we get to know what Hashem's plans really were.
The line of Saul was finished. Yonason had died with his father, and therefore it was open. So those people on Shaul's side who sided with him would now be persuaded to join David. Otherwise, there would still be opposition.
Like Avner?
Yes.
Yeah.
They went over to him because he was the natural choice.
Yeah.
So, in connection with your last explanation, in connection with the end of time, to come back to my reference to Eliyahu, where they come at the end of time. In the passage from Tehillim, I saw Eliyahu on Mount Carmel with the priests of Baal. In the passage in Shmuel, I see the future tense as referring to the final judgment of the end of time, where Eliyahu appears and Hashem reveals the foundations of the earth and punishes the sinners with his wrath, apo from Shmuel.
So both echoing
each other.
One,
yeah,
in the past, a previous event, and
to Mount Carmel, one in the future, again with Eliyahu, in at the end of time.
They do some, yeah. They do some chat. Good. Morning. The Abarbanel in Shmuel Base tackles, and each pasuk explains the various differences between Pesukim in Shmuel Base and Pesukim in Tehillim. And I didn't understand all of it, but I think he only comments on one small thing here, and he says, and then throughout the whole chapter in Shmuel Base, the Abarbanel says how the Pesukim in Tehillim are an improvement on the Pesukim in Shmuel Base. They're putting the finishing touches to the Pesukim from Shmuel Base, the finishing touches are there in Tehillim, and hence he explains some of the differences. And the Abarbanel says, in Shmuel Base, it's all in the third person. The Ga'aras Hashem, the rebuke of Hashem, and Minishmasruach Apo from the blast of the wind of his nostrils. Whereas in our pasuk, it's in the second person, Minishmasruach Apecha, your nostrils, and Migarasucha Hashem, your rebuke Hashem. And he says, in Shmuel Base, it's a chapter that David HaMelech had at that time, or said at that time, for himself. It was more of a personal tefillah, while Tehillim is for everybody, for all future generations of Klal Yisrael. So it's the standard, if you like, has been raised a little bit. Instead of just speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the third person, in Tehillim it's more direct. It's in the second person. You speak to Hashem, Migarosecha Hashem, your rebuke, and Minishmasecha Pecho, the breath of your nostrils. That's how the Abarbanel learns that the Apostle in Tehillim is an improvement and a slight correction, if you like, or an enhancement is probably a better word, on the Pesukim in Shmuel Base. Oh, right. Now come to a slightly tricky section, and that is we have to go via a Pesuk in Iyov. Oh, let's look at this. Oh, let's look at the Pesuk in Iyov. Excuse me. One second. Yeah. Oh, now the Pesuk in Iyov, it's chapter Mem Aleph, Pasuk Zion, which speaks about the Livyoson. Yeah? The Livyoson fish, this enormous fish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use in the fullness, after the times of Mashiach, to reward Klal Yisrael. We will, we'll be able to eat from the Tzaddikim will be allowed to feast from the Livyoson, and at the end of Sukkot, at the end of Shemini Atzeres, we say, and we'll be able to take shade in the skin of the Livyoson. Okay, so there's a pasuk in Eov which describes this. Very hard to understand this. Let's try. It's an Eov chapter Mem Aleph Pasuk Zayin. Mem Aleph Pasuk Zayin says the pasuk, Ga'avo afike moginim sogur chosom tzor. It's a description of the Livyoson fish. Now Ga'avo, the fish has a certain pride. This is enormous. Livyoson fish. It has pride. Afike moginim. I can't remember what afike means. Afike means
generals.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But in that pasuk in Eov, I can't remember what that word afike means. At any rate, moginim are the shields of that fish. And what are they? Scales. The scales of the fish are very tightly packed on the Livyoson fish, very tightly packed together, and also held very close to the body of the fish. Therefore, no weapon will easily pierce through those scales. The scales, A, are very tightly packed, and very tightly overlapping, and tightly packed into the skin of the fish. So that's denoted here. Ga'avor, the fish has a certain pride. Why? Afike moginim, because its scales act as shield. Sogur, closing in, chosom tsar, tightly packed in, chosom sealed in, and tsar is an expression of being very tightly packed in on the body of the fish. That is the poshup shot in that posuk. Ha, found that hard enough. Right. Now that pasuk is explained in a Gemara in Eruvin Daf Samachay. Here we are. Says the Gemara in Eruvin Samachay. The Gemara is discussing the correct procedure that a person should do if he's too drunk to daven. Okay? Says the Gemara, if a person is too drunk to daven, what should he do? And the answer is, he shouldn't daven. It's as easy as that. Yeah? He's not meant to daven. And the Gemara actually praises the person who holds back from davening when he's drunk. He's right, it's correct for him not to daven. Now, the Gemara learns it from this pasuk. Let's see if we can get this. We'll take the drosha of Rabbi Yochanan. There are two opinions in the Gemara. One is Rabbi Chanina, and one is Rabbi Yochanan. And we'll take the one from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kol she'eino mefik, anyone who does not express himself in tefillah, means expressing himself when he's drunk, he's onto a good thing. What will happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him from all punishments. And that previous expression, let me read this out. Let me get this one. Oh, here we are. I'm taking the expression now from Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Yochanan echoes Rabbi Chanina, but in a slightly different way. So we'll start with Rabbi Chanina. Kol ha'mefik mogein b'sha'as gaiva. Anyone who does not daven when he's drunk, the word gaiva being a reference to drunkenness, and I'm not quite sure how, but it is. Anyone who skips over mogein. What's mogein? It's the first bracha of the Amida, Mogin Avraham. Mogin Avraham. Yeah? So anybody who skips over Mogin, i.e. who does not daven when he's drunk, it's a good thing. What will happen? Sogrim v'chosmim tzoros ba'ado. Hashem will close off all his troubles from him. And Hashem won't send all the troubles to that man that he might otherwise have sent. Now, Rabbi Yochanan derives it from this pasuk, from this pasuk in Eov that we've just read. How does it work? Kol she'eino mefik itmar. He says, anybody who doesn't express himself in davening, how does Rabbi Yochanan get it from that pasuk? So can make head or tail of this Gemara without the Arskol, and the Arskol quotes the pshat of Rabbeinu Peretz, which works as follows. Rabbi Yochanan understands the pasuk. Here it is, Mem Aleph, in the Eov chapter, Mem Aleph pasuk time. Ga'avo afike ga'avo. When a person is drunk, afike moginim, expressing himself in davening, mogin, i.e. mogin Avram, sogur, he closes himself from that. Okay, so the way Rabbi Yochanan understands it is, gavo, when a person is drunk, afike moginim sogur, and he holds back from expressing mogain, i.e. he refuses to daven the Amidah. What will happen? Chosom tzor, Hashem will seal off his punishments from him. Hashem will seal off his tzoris, his difficulties from him. That's how Rabbi Yochanan knows it. And of course, Rabbi Yochanan needs to define that the word afike means an outpouring, an expression, an outpouring of prayer. And he gets it from our pasuk. How does he get it? How do I know that afike is an outpouring of something, is an expression? He takes it from our pasuk. Me'e mashma, from where do we know? I'm just going to quickly point out, the Gemara often uses this expression, me'e mashma, and most people read it, my mashma. In fact, here in the Art School, it's pointed as my mashma. Rabbi Cooper was very particular to say it's actually me'e, from where. You know that, Daffy Yomi, Rabbi Cooper for years and years. Me'e mashma. From where is it implied that afike is an outpouring? How do we know it? And the Gemara says we get it from, well, how do we know the high mafik, that this word mafik is lishna de geluye, is an expression of revelation. It means expressing yourself in prayer. How do we know? It's like an outpouring. And the answer is tichsiv, because of our posik, vayeru afike mayim vayegolu moslos tevel. That the afike mayim, the streams of water, outpourings of water, are opened up or revealed. That's how Rabbi Yochanan knows that afike means opening up. Therefore, the pasuk in Eov reads ga'avo, when a person is drunk, afike, expressing himself, moginim, mogin of prayer, mogin Avram, sogur, he's closed off from that. So the word sogur negates the afike. He's not going to express himself in tefillah. What happens to such a person? Chosom tzar. He is, his troubles are held back from him. Very difficult piece of Gemara. It took me ages to work it out. So the pasuk he's quoted, this pasuk he's quoting, Ga'ava afike moginim sogur chosom tzar, that's the pasuk about the Leviathan. And I started off simply by telling you the simple pshat in that pasuk. Our Gemara, taking it to refer to someone who's drunk and refuses to daven because he's drunk, has taken the pasuk totally out of context. So I started off just giving you the pshat in the pasuk, which is all about the Leviathan fish. You know that it's got these, its scales are tightly packed together and so it's well protected. Oh, the Ben Yehoyada on this Gemara just says a very sweet pshat. He says, why is it, what's so fantastic, so a person is drunk and he doesn't daven. The Gemara seems to go extol with tremendous praise the person who doesn't daven because he's drunk. And the Ben Yehuda says, well, what's the big deal, you know, he's drunk so he doesn't daven. What is that, so wonderful, is that so amazing? And he says an interesting pshat. He says, when we daven, we have no intermediaries between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We daven directly. We've got a hotline to heaven. We daven directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says, other religions, and I presume he's referring to Christianity, but I don't really know, says other religions use mediums between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and God. So I suppose the Christians, they pray via Yashki, via Jesus. They use him as some kind of a medium to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They really are praying to our same God, but they do so via their own channels. They see Jesus as their link to heaven, something like that. Yes and no. I would say not. I remember when my late father-in-law passed away, and my wife asked Rabbi Cooper Zecher Tzadik Livracha about when one goes to the Keder, what is the tefillahs, what's the idea of the tefillahs that we say at the Keva? And Rabbi Cooper said to her, oh, we're not davening to the Mesim, we're not davening to, we only daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's just davening at a holy place.
But we pray through the zechus of the...
That's true. Yeah, you can't deny that. We rely on the zechus of the akedah and the zechus. Yeah, yeah. So
very often it can turn to something.
Yeah, but... Yeah. Okay, I don't think I can answer that. Don't think I know the answer to that. But he says, we daven... The Veni Yehuda says, we daven with no intermediaries. Now he says, sometimes a person might be inhibited from expressing himself properly. So if a person is drunk and he davens, he's using his drunken stupor almost like an intermediary. It's enabled him to say what really lies on his inner conscience.
Can you show me that?
Veni Yehuda. Yeah, Shet Yehem. Yeah, yeah. And he brings a story. It's a hilarious story of a fellow who was drunk. I don't know if this is a moshul, if it really happens. The story's got a happy ending. Of a fellow who was drunk and he saw the local mayor or prince riding past on his horse, and he says to this prince, "I'd like to buy your horse, please." And the prince says, "Shall sell it to you for some ridiculous sum of money, like I think it says 10,000 or maybe it's 2,000 pieces of gold." 2,000 gold pieces, way overpriced, because you can see the guy's drunk. And he says, "Okay, fine, and then I'll bring you the money tomorrow, you bring me the horse tomorrow." Fine, yeah, the deal is done. And the next day the guy turns up with his horse, and he says, "Okay, here's the horse, can I have my 2,000 pieces of gold?" So the man turns to the prince and he says, "Hang on, when I bought this yesterday, I did so via my agent. Let me call my agent to see to the sale." So he says, "Who's your agent?" So he says, "The agent is my drunken stupor. He says, if I go home now and I'll have a huge amount of alcohol, that'll bring my agent back to life and then I can do the deal." And no, he was saying, I want to renege on the deal because I was drunk when I did the deal. Anyway, so he brings that as a moshul. He's the guy's drunken stupor was the middleman or his agent to do the deal. He says, likewise, the person, he says, when we daven to Hashem, we do so with no intermediaries. If a person davens when he's drunk, then he will be using his drunken stupor as an intermediary. Incidentally, that Gemara in Erevin, where was it, Samechei Amud Aleph, speaks about the halachas of a person who's drunk. If a person is drunk and does a business deal when he's drunk, the deal is valid. Yeah?
Well, it could be under the influence of drugs.
Yeah,
just being
could
drunk.
Be. Yeah, it's not speaking about drugs. But he says a person is under the influence of alcohol. If he does a business deal when he's drunk. Yeah, alcohol is from drunk, yeah. He says, a person does a business deal, mekcho, mekacho, memkar, memkoro, memkar, it's a proper deal, he can't renege on the deal. Okay, so this, in the story that Ben Yehuda brings, I must have been just a muscle. He's saying it was like he's using his drunkenness as his agent, as a middleman. And likewise, if a person does an aveira when he's drunk, for which he'd be chayv malchus, so as I remember the Gemara says, yes, he's still chayv malchus. It's only, and the Gemara, if I understood the Gemara correctly, and I might not have done, he'll only be potter if, says the Gemara, if he's as drunk as Lot was when his daughters cohabited with him. Yeah? If he's that drunk, say he really Lot didn't have a clue what was going on, then okay, then he'd be exempted from Malchus and so on. Okay. Let's say one other, so you want to add to that?
No, I was just thinking of a modern comparison that people under the influence of drugs pray to Hashem because they're under the influence of the ecstasy they're experiencing. And this could be a sort of an intermediary for them to pray.
What kind of company do you keep? I don't know if anyone does this.
No, but people do.
Yeah.
Young people do. They take marijuana and they use this as a way, not necessarily Jews.
I see.
And they use this as a way of experiencing what they seem to think is divine.
Yeah, yeah.
And prayer and so on.
Interesting. Well, drugs certainly do heighten certain
awareness. Spiritual awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's also, anyway.
Yeah, 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 we did. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You heighten your spiritual awareness with the drink as well.
Yeah, yeah, but lots of dumb. Just to get drunk.
Spiritual awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
It's serious.
Oh, let me show you a piece of Gemara in Tanis. It's the Chesamid base. says the Gemara, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Godol Yom HaGeshomim Ki Yom Kibbutz Golias. The day when rain falls is as great as the day when Golos comes to an end and all the Yidden are brought back together again. Shenema, and brings the pasuk in Tinnim that we had earlier, Tinnim Kuf Kafrov, Shuvah Hashem Es Shivisenu Ta'afikim Banegev. Now Hashem, please bring back our captives like streams in the Negev, in dry land. Which can transform the dry land, water will transform the dry land. Likewise, when you bring us back out of Golas, you will transform us. And then the Gemara says, in Afikim el Amata, and Afikim, these streams must surely refer to rainwater. Why? Because they're in the desert, and there's a lot of natural water lying in the desert, so we're talking about a flash flood from a rainstorm in the desert. And then the Gemara brings up pasuk Shenema, Vayero'u Afike. Actually, the Gemara quotes it from Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, Vayero'u Afike Yom, and the streams of the sea were visible. Yeah, oh, it brings it from that pasuk. So it's connected with the word Afike. That Afike must be an expression of water. In fact, the Gemara says it's an expression of Motor, which is rainfall. And the Gemara connects it from to our pasuk here.
And this sort of ties all with my idea of singing Eliyahu in the Shmuel passage at the end of days. And what was the connection between Levi Yosson and the festival of Sukkot?
At the end of Sukkot, we say it Yehiratzon. I remember it.
Protect us under the shade or something.
Yeah. We should be Zulche Le'oro Shel Levyoson, to the skin of the Levyoson fish. In other words, the skin of this giant fish will be used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at some time in the future to protect Tzadikim. They'll be able to sit in the shade of the Levyoson fish.
Because there's a further connection on Sukkot with the fact that on Sukkot they were meant to be all the nations would give sacrifices to Hashem in a rebuilt temple. And this is the end of days, of course, the time of the universal redemption. And this perhaps is why the connection to Sukkot in particular, because this is the only festival in which there were 70 korbanos representing the 70 nations.
That's fair. Yeah. Oh, very good. Right, so we're nearly just one or two small things here. In the Pirush of Rav Avram ben Ramoch on Tehillim, he says, in our pasuk we're talking about the enemies of Klal Yisrael who are destroyed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroys the enemies, he says the enemies, or the problems to Klal Yisrael, problems to David, and generally the enemies are compared to Moses Tevel, the foundations of the earth. Says Rav Avram ben Ramoch, the enemies might be as strong and as mighty as Moses Tevel, the foundations of the earth, but they can be blown away minishmas ruach hapecha, with a little blow, a sniff from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a breath of the blow from Hashem's nostrils, and these mighty enemies simply can get blown away. That's how he learns it. And two other small things, no, three more small things. The Al-Sheikh, we learned last week and the week before, how the Al-Sheikh learns these pesukim are referenced to the destruction of Sodom. And David had particular gratitude for the survivors of the destruction of Sodom, Lot and his two daughters, because of course David is descended from Rus, Hamoaviah, and the first daughter of Lot, her son from Lot was called Moav. Yeah, so David is a descendant of that daughter of Lot, and therefore he expresses his gratitude. And the Al-Sheikh learns our pasuk as well about Vayero, Afike, Mayim, Vayigolomus, Estevel, all being a reference to the destruction of Sodom as well. I couldn't track it down, but it quotes a Medrash, Rabbah, that with the Gophris, Va'esh, and all the fire and brimstone, Hashem also flooded Sodom as well, with some kind of flood. So that's Vayiro Afike Mayim, that the Mayim hit Sodom as well. So that's how the Al-Sheikh learns, following through what he learned earlier, namely it's all about destruction of Sodom.
The anger is the fire and brimstone. Hashem's anger is the fire and brimstone.
Directed on Sodom. That's how the Al-Sheikh learns our pasuk, yeah. totally different interpretation of the pasuk. The Masad Rav Kook on Tehillim says something so simple that it's amazing that I never think of it, and none of us thought of it. And that he says, our pasuk says Migaroscha Hashem, from your rebuke Hashem, and he quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, Tehillim chapter Kuvav pasuk Tes, which speaks about Kriyas Yamsuf, where the pasuk says Vayigar beYamsuf, Hashem showed anger on the Yamsuf, Vayecharov, and he dried it, or it dried up. So it's a poetical expression. So Hashem showed anger on the Yamsuf and it split. So our pasuk Migaros Hashem, learning like Rashi and learning like the Medrash Shechetov, it's all about Kriyas Yamsuf. It fits beautifully. We've got a clear pasuk where we're in Tehillim Kuvav Vayigar biYamsuf. Hashem expressed anger or rebuked the Yamsuf. And that ties in with that word, Migaroscho. Although the Yamsuf isn't mentioned specifically in our Pasuk, it ties in beautifully, it's a reference to the Yamsuf. And likewise, the other one, our Pasuk says, Minishmas Ruach Apecho, from the breath of your wind, and he quotes the Pasuk from Parshas Beshalach, it's chapter Tesvav, and it's Pasuk Ches, where the Pasuk says, Uver Ruach Apecho, Ne'er Mumayim, that the waters were piled up of Ruach HaPecha, yeah, of Ruach HaPecha, and there we remind that the water is piled up by the breath of your nostrils. So it ties in beautifully with our pasuk, Minishmas Ruach HaPecha. Slight difference, our word HaPecha is in the singular, there's no yud in it. It literally means your nostril, even though the English translates it as nostrils. Well, the word in the Shira, Uvruch apecho, that word apecho is with the yud, which makes a plural, nostrils. And one last thing, I'll close with this because it's just a phenomenal gematria.
It also means because a human has two nostrils. They say, but you Hashem only have one nostril.
Could be, but the one in Beshalach has got the yud, apecho, yeah? You see it here, yeah? It's got the yud there, apecho. Uvruch apecho with the yud, which makes it plural, nostrils. Yeah? Now, Sefer Eretz HaChaim, I'll just close with this, a beautiful gematria. The Sefer Eretz HaChaim on Tehillim explains, what does he say? Yeah, he says, Mayim is always a reference to Torah. Our pasuk speaks about Vayeroa, Fike Mayim, and Mayim in Mayim Ela Torah, and of course he quotes the well-known Gemara in Tanis, it's that Zayinam with Alas, where the Gemara says, Rabbi Hanina bar Idi, no, Omar, yeah, Omar Rabbi Hanina bar Idi, Lama Nimshalu Divei Sora Lamayim, why are words of Torah compared to water? Dichsiv, because got a pasuk in Yeshaya, Hoikol Tzomei Luchu Lamayim, that's a pasuk in Yeshaya, and it's chapter Nun Hei Pasuk Aleph, Hoikol Tzomei Luchu Lamayim, anyone who's thirsty should go to water. And the Gemara learns, it's a moshel, you're thirsty, in other words, you have a desire to learn Torah, Luchu Lamayim, go and learn, go to the water, go and learn. So the Gemara goes, it says, Amar Rebbe Chanina by Idi, Lama Nimshali Diviso Lamayim, why was the Torah compared to water? Dichsiv, Hoikol Tzomei Luchu Lamayim, Lama Lacha, to tell you, Ma Mayim Manichim Mokrim Gavoa, just as water will go flow downwards, which is the force of gravity, will flow down from a high place, v'holchim l'mokam namuch, and go to a low place, after v'tur, to v'tur as well, words v'tur, eim iskaimin ela b'misha data shefela, will only rest and stick with someone who is of a lowly disposition. In other words, it's not about Gaiva, someone who is not walking around filled with conceit. Yeah, he's a humble person. So Torah flows downwards. Torah flows downwards to someone who considers himself a lowly being. At any rate, Torah is compared to Mayim. Says the Sefer Eretz HaChaim, says that the Torah has two components to it: Nigle and Nistar. The open Torah, the Torah that we all know, the revealed Torah, which is what we really spend all our lives learning, Tanakh and Midrashim and Mefarshim and Gemara and Shulchan Aruch and Rishonim and Acharonim, that's all the Nigla, and the Nistar, which is supposed the Kabbalistic side of the Torah, which is the more hidden side of the Torah. Now he says those two sides of the Torah are reflected in the word Mayim. We know one system of Gematria is to spell out each letter and to calculate Gematria based on the spelling of the letter. So the word Mayim is spelled Mem Yud Mem, and if you spell Mem, it's spelled Mem Mem. And if you spell Yud, it's Yud Vav Dalet. And if you spell the last mem, it's also mem mem. So he says the first letters. So what have you got? You've got mem mem, yud vav dalet, mem mem. The first letters, which are of course mem yud and mem, spelling out mayim, is the nigle. That's the nigla, that's the revealed part of the words, that's the part of the words you see. The hidden part of the word that you don't see are the rest of the letters that spell out the name of each letter. So it's the second mem from mem mem, it's the vav and dalad from yud vav dalad, and it's the second mem of mem mem. Yeah? Should we have a chart to write this out? So he says the gematria is identical. Mem equals mem. The open mem, which is the first mem from the word mayim, is equal to the hidden mem, spelling out the word mem. You with me, Norman? Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah? The yud is spelled yud vav dalad. Well, the one that you can see, the nigle, is the yud. The nista that you can't see is the vav and dalad. The vav plus dalad equals 10, which is equal to the yud. And the last mem is also equal to the mem. So the hidden part of the word mayim is mem, vav dalet, mem. And all of that is equal to the open part of mayim, which is mem yud mem. Same identical gematrius. All the way. Yeah? It's all identical gematrius. So he says, there you can see that it's merumas that the two parts of the Torah are merumas there. It's in the nigle, the open part of the Torah, and the nista, the hidden part of the Torah.
Scare. Yeah, sure.